Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this day, Monday, for our time of meditation and prayer. I'm happy to be here with you this morning, and I want to introduce Milton here. He's going to give us our teaching here in a minute. But let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes this morning. If you know this one, sing with me. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! Then all will see how great, how great is our God. From age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! Then all will see how great is our God. For he's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. For he's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. For how great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. Then all will see how great is our God. Milton.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together may be acceptable in God's sight, and that our brief spiritual embrace, as it were, may in some significant way be a blessing and an encouragement to you in these trying times. I'd like to invite your interest in some thoughts and musings that I've put together under the whimsical heading, The Flight to Egypt. The Flight to Egypt. Thoughts about a particular connection in our Christian experience that may provoke searching questions in our self-examination during the Easter recess. Some time ago, I read a rather charming little story in the Reader's Digest, which has provided for me much thought, much food for thought. The story goes that during one Christmas season, a Sunday school teacher asked her 7-year-old students to put down on paper their impressions of the flight to Egypt. There were very many answers, some written, some drawn, all very thoughtful and creative. But the teacher was particularly intrigued by one response. It was a simple scene with 3 entries on a plain sheet of drawing paper. But the teacher was particularly intrigued by one response. Filled with curiosity, the teacher asked, "Who were the 3 stick figures at the lower left-hand corner of the page?" To which the youngster replied knowingly, "Joseph, Mary, and Jesus." Still somewhat perplexed, the teacher wanted to know what was the speck at the top of the page. Why? "The airplane that took them on the flight to Egypt," was the reply. Now, obviously amused, the teacher pointed to the lone stick figure at the bottom right of the page. At this point, the youngster, a little bit annoyed by his teacher's ignorance, blurted out with a sign of disgust, "Pontius the pilot, of course." I've always been taken by stories involving little children who, in their innocence, entertain us and challenge us and educate us in such special ways. We are amused by this particular story because, without need for interpretation, it has all the elements of a good joke, the essential ingredients of a good joke, since the contrast between the happenings of its 2 points of reference, the there and when, and the here and now, is so open and so clear. We are surprised right off by the almost whimsical take on the double meaning of the word flight. What could be more natural to the young mind than the takeoff of an Airbus for the trip to Egypt? Camels of that ancient time are replaced by present-day aircraft with such childlike ease. And then our interest is heightened still further by the phonetic exchange between the surname pilot and the occupation pilot, which then provides the surprising punchline that secures our response in laughter. However, it strikes me that the playful mixture of the story's points of reference calls forth from us a more sober response than laughter. For whether intended or not, the charming little story is, in a real sense, a story parable with thoughtful and thought-provoking reminders of the connection between the Christmas and Easter events. The story parable reminds us in the first place that there were at once tones of goodwill and overtones of rejection in the Christmas story happenings, the Christmas happenings in the there and when. Christmas was supposed to be all about peace and love, about giving and forgiving, about peace on earth and goodwill to all people, about God and sinners reconciled, about the good news of God's amazing grace and of the holy light on silent night. Yet blended with those tones of goodwill were overtones of hate and rejection. Jesus came into the world, and the world received him not. There were those who sought to snuff out this new light, even at the expense of innocent young lives. And indeed, the confusion of a census, out-and-out political intrigue, an overcrowded stable motel reeking with the pungent smells of animals, and temporary exile in Egypt were seemingly Jesus' only birthright. The question for us this day is then, surely, do we really acknowledge with grateful hearts the promised reason for the season in the hustle and bustle and tinsel of the Christmases of the here and now? The story of parable reminds us in the second place that Easter is, in effect, an essential part of the Christmas story. Christmas is neither the beginning nor the end of the story of our redemption from sin and death, but perhaps only the end of the beginning. Christmas and Easter are not mutually exclusive events. The shadow of the cross hung over the babe in the manger. Jesus would be despised and rejected by the world. He would become a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. The world would little care, nor note that he was Emmanuel, God with us. Pilate, as if deciding takeoff orders for Pontius the Pilate, would pass the buck on matters of conscience about Jesus' faith to a sin-sick mob, itself in desperate need of divine intercession about for not knowing what they were about to do. And so the rabble would throw up their sweaty nightcaps and yell their preference, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas." May each of us, in our self-examination this Easter season, receive the surpassing love of the Easter miracle with the resounding confession of faith, "Give me Jesus, give me Jesus." For even though God's amazing grace passes our deep understanding, we live in the knowledge that love came down at Christmas Love even unto the cross of Calvary. Love with the hope and promise of the resurrection at Easter dawn. May God grant that we may be reminded that Easter ought to be the key experience of our faith. With our rebirth into newness of life in Christ as the encompassing theme of our redemption story. And so go now in peace and safety, and may the peace of God go with you. Amen.
Thank you, Milton. Let's continue our time together this afternoon with a little more worship. At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering You have shown me your love through the judgment you received. And you've won my heart. And you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, where I am made complete, You have given me life through the death you bore for me. And you've won my heart. And you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty. Oh, yeah, and wear forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty. Oh, yeah, and wear forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. Oh, yeah, at the foot of the cross. Oh, yeah, at the foot of the cross. Oh, yeah, at the foot of the cross. Amen. Thank you again, Milton, for being with us today. Tune in tomorrow around the same time, around noon, and you'll Reverend Rich Gray and Vet and Ton will be with us. So let's have a word of prayer before we leave this morning. Lord Jesus, we just, we need you. Lord, we need you. And you knew that, which is why you chose to go to the cross for us, so that we would have a way out, so that we would have a way of reconciliation to the Father. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for each and every one of us. Lord, as we go through this really trying time for a lot of us, God, we just pray your peace and your wisdom will permeate our worlds. God, that you will bring healing to each and every one of us and to our land. Thank you again, Lord, for this time together. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed day.